Now is the time, episode 33. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. All right, friends, welcome to another episode of Now is the Time, and today we are going to be talking about acceptable sins, okay? So acceptable sins, they're the sins that we kind of look favorably on, or as a church in today's culture, we ignore or justify. And you know, every era in history has had some sort of acceptable sins, and we are no exception to that rule. So I'm going to be giving you my top three acceptable sins, what I think are the most acceptable, but you know what, they cause some real damage. And I'm also going to be talking, well, basically, this is sort of a conversation that I'm extending from Facebook and Twitter, because I asked this question on Facebook and Twitter, and you know, I got some great responses too. And so I want to share some of those responses with you and just kind of interact with them a little bit. So if you were one of those that were responding to my question on Facebook or Twitter, you will probably hear that come up in this podcast as well. All right. Before we get into that content, though, I have one really exciting announcement. That is that my book that I've been working on, I finally finished it. I mean, I finished the content. I got it done, and wow, that is a good feeling. You probably don't even know what book I'm talking about. Well, the book is called What If? How to Kill Worry and Anxiety Before They Kill You. So the book is about worry and anxiety, and it really gives a biblical perspective and foundation for understanding what that is. And, you know, I published a book about, I think it was a year and a half ago on, it was just an ebook about the Orthodox Church. And, well, this book is quite a bit different. That little book I published, it was called Church Tradition and Scripture, Where Does the Authority Hide? And that's still available on Amazon. But, you know, it's a pretty short book. It's only about 29 pages. And this book is quite a bit different. It's a full-length book. It's about 190 pages. Actually, I don't know exactly how many pages it is at this point, because the interior design is not completely finished, but it's going to be around that length, say 185, 190 pages or so. It's going to be around that length. 19 chapters, and you know, this has been a great experience for me as a writer to write this book, because it's really forced me to go deep into God's Word and understand. You know, here's the thing that I come out of writing this book. The main thing that I grasp from God's Word is that worry and anxiety are issues of the heart. Okay, and there is medication out there. There is all kinds of tricks and things that you can do to relieve it, but ultimately, worry and anxiety are issues of the heart. And at their root is a misunderstanding of who God is, and also a lack of faith in what God can do. So those two things. But, you know, I highly recommend that you check the book out. In fact, although we are still designing the interior and putting that together and doing some final edits, the book is already up on Amazon. And so the easiest way for you to find it is to go to our website, succofamily.org/ what if. Okay, no spaces there or anything. SukoFamily.org/what if. And you will find the links there to Amazon. If you do go to Amazon, you can go directly to Amazon. And just the easiest way is to search for my name, Caleb Suko. And you can certainly find it that way too. But it is scheduled to be published on August the 1st. But of course, you can pre-order it now. And I would suggest that you do that. You'll probably get a little bit of a lower price if you pre-order it now and ensure that it gets to you as soon as possible. And the more people that can do that, the better, because that will they'll make it visible on Amazon to more people. And so it's a message that I think needs to get out there, because it's not just it's not just purely dealing with an issue that is superficial. It's really getting down to the core of the heart. And I think that everyone can benefit from this book. I know that I have. And honestly, I don't consider myself to be a big worrier. But one of the other things that I realized as I wrote this book was that I can worry about some things. And sometimes those worries are kind of hidden. Or we rationalize it to ourselves that we're not really worrying, but we're just concerned. So anyway, check the book out, What If? How to Kill Worry and Anxiety Before They Kill You, and it is on Amazon, or just go to SukoFamily.org/what if. And I'll put the links there on the show notes for this episode, episode 33. Okay, so let's get into the content now for this episode. We are talking about acceptable sins. Let me explain again what I mean by acceptable sins. For instance, sometimes, you're reading the Old Testament and you're reading, about Abraham and the patriarchs and these guys, and you're thinking, man, what is this with all their wives? They got 3-4 more wives. You see, that was an acceptable sin at that time. That doesn't mean it was right. It just means that in that culture and at that time, it was done a lot, and people sort of ignored it as a way, even though God initially established the family as one man and one woman. So there were acceptable sins during the Old Testament. They were in the New Testament. In fact, you could even think of a time in recent history where you had churches recently, within some of our lifetimes, churches that had segregation in them between blacks and whites. And that was considered okay. And that was an acceptable sin. Well, friends, there are acceptable sins in our churches today. The difficulty with acceptable sins is recognizing them, because of our culture and because it's all around us, they are very difficult to pinpoint. So I nailed down three acceptable sins that I think are kind of their top on my list, okay? But I want to, before I give you those, I just want to mention a number of comments here that I got on Facebook, and then I'll probably jump over to Twitter after that, and because I also got a number of responses on Twitter as well. But, okay, for instance, my friend NJ Rich, he says, because I asked, by the way, this is the question on Facebook, what do you think are the biggest acceptable sins in the church today? So my friend NJ Rich, he said, gluttony, gossip, robbing God, laziness, self-righteousness, apathy, need I continue? No, you don't. You probably could, NJ, but yes. And in fact, you nailed a couple of my top ones in that list. Gluttony, laziness, robbing God, those hit right to the core of many of our respectable or of our acceptable sins. Lacey Rumley, she wrote, have you read Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges? And I haven't, but I've heard of the book, and I probably will read it, especially since you mentioned it now, Lacey. And I heard about it Well, for my mom, actually, and she was reading it. In fact, I saw it just like a couple weeks ago. I was walking by and it was laying on the table and I picked it up, looked through it a little bit. Looks like a great book. And I'll put a link to it in the show notes if you want to check it out too, if anyone else wants to check it out. So thanks for that suggestion there, Lacey. All right, Kate Abbas. I'm not sure how I'm saying that last name right. Kate Abbas. She says, pride masked as I'm trying to measure up, as if anything we can do comes anywhere near measuring up. Yeah, that's true. Pride is definitely, you know, it's, I think pride is such a huge sin because it is involved in so many other sins. And oftentimes it's hard to just point out and say, hey, you're being prideful. But certainly that is right up there. Okay, moving on. Lee Lehner says, lack of discipline. Some honor people because of wealth, but they lose the reward when they make notion of same, other than giving with a pure heart to Christ Jesus. But I have witnessed that the lack of discipline is the biggest problem. And I think that NJ got to that a little bit too and talked about laziness and apathy. All right, my mom, Nancy Succo, she said, not being conscious of God in our daily lives. Man, you don't think of that as a sin very often, do you? Certainly, it's not one that you could easily point to by outward actions, but it is an important thing that we are conscious of God in our daily lives. Matthew Quant said, a lack of brotherly love. And you know, Matt, I wanted to comment on this too, because I think I know what you're getting at. Well, I think, maybe not quite, but what this reminds me of is, you know, how many times in the church have I dealt with people that are just grumpy? They just have bad attitudes. And you're like, you know, come on, chill out. This is the church. We're supposed to have brotherly love here. And unfortunately, yeah, you don't see that all the time. Paul Graham says, assuming the church will teach our children, neglecting family teaching, devotional prayer, and practical training in serving the kingdom. You're right on, Paul. And again, this goes back to another thing that was already mentioned. That's laziness, I think. You know, as parents, oftentimes we're lazy and think, oh, okay, the church is going to teach our kids about the Bible, and we don't have to do that. All right, just a couple more here. Ann Foster mentions gluttony, which was, again, already mentioned there. And she also mentions the book, The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. And then, let's see, the last one here is Justin Cummins. And he says, many sinful behaviors, attitudes are being redefined as disorders, therefore being completely removed from the realm of spiritual discipline and personal responsibility. Man, you've got that right. And I think that is so awesome that you put that comment here, because it's true that what we used to call sins, we call a disorder or a condition, and there is prescribed a pill or a medication or a treatment plan for it. And actually, he goes on further to say, this is creating an exodus toward other methods of dealing with these issues. Right, that's what I, like a pill, right? And then he continues and he says, many even within the church are no longer looking for the efficacy of God, the Word, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit in sanctification, as they see no need for repentance or abandonment of sin, because as far as they are concerned, it is not even sin, it is a disorder. Right on, Justin. I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. So, great comments there on Facebook, and I will put the link to that Facebook post in the show notes. So if you want to add to those comments, you can also add to those comments there. Okay, so just a couple of more to mention that came from Twitter. So Jacqueline says, slander. We're so busy fighting the culture wars that we are slandering one another. That has become an acceptable sin. Yep. Very true. Now, here's one. Elton, he mentioned, he says, possibly acceptance of false messages. You know, and I hadn't even thought about that, but sure, you could definitely say that is accepted by many churches. Well, it makes me think of the prosperity gospel. Chris says, rather than loving the world, we want to be loved by the world. Sin says, loving God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Well, I think, I'm assuming what she means is that the sin is not loving God with all our hearts, mind, soul, and strength. And Sharday also says refusal to love one another, rejecting tithing and offering. Also Matthew says the self-sufficient strategy formula, dependent nature of the church itself. Wow, that's, now there's one I hadn't thought of. But yeah, running the church like a business. Like, you know what? We can plan it out. We can set our goals and we can, you know, have this many people after this many, number of years. And yep, that is definitely, and it's, yeah, I think that one really comes back to pride, doesn't it? All right, last one. Jennifer says, I was going to say the same thing. Backbiting our brothers and sisters seem to be okay. Divisions break my heart. All right, very good, Jennifer. Okay, so those were the comments I got, and a lot of them really made me think about some of the sins in my own life, as well as in the church. But what I want to share with you right now is really what I think are the top three of all of these. And kind of interesting, two of these were mentioned actually several times. One was not mentioned. And so let me start with the two that were mentioned. One, the first is laziness. I think that laziness is a big acceptable sin in churches today, and maybe part of it is just because, you know, it's hard, you don't know what people are doing the other 6 days of the week, right? Some of it may be because we are such an entertainment culture and we almost worship rest and relaxation and not doing anything. But you know, the Bible does talk about this stuff. It really does. So just here's a few verses to keep in mind, okay? Proverbs 10:4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Proverbs 13:4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. And of course, that term sluggard is a term that is used for someone who is lazy. All right. One more proverb. Proverbs 18:9. Whoever is slack in his work is a brother to him who destroys. So laziness is a destructive behavior as well. Okay, a couple of verses in the New Testament too. For instance, let's see, we have Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Do you approach your work in that way? As to the Lord and not for men? Okay. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. Paul again says, for even when we were with you, we would give you this command. If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Wow. That sounds kind of harsh, doesn't it? Kind of makes you wonder sometimes, too, about some of the feeding programs we have. Are people willing to work? Because sometimes people don't have food, not because of situations out of their control, but because they themselves are not willing to work. Okay, and last one, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Yeah, that's how bad it really is. Laziness is worse than just being an unbeliever. I probably need to look at that verse carefully. How could it be worse? I mean, what is it? I think it's because of the testimony that it sends out and the damage it does to the testimony of the church. When people look at the church, when I say church, I mean the body of Christ, I mean the people, they ought to see hard workers. They ought to see people who are invested in their work, who are diligent, who do not give up, who do not step back. Now, I'm not saying that you can't take a Sabbath. You need to take a Sabbath too. But don't take a Sabbath after a day or two of work. Take it after 6 days of work. And don't take 3 or 4 or 5 Sabbath days in a row every week. Okay? Take one. So yeah, we need that rest. We need that relaxation. But it comes after our work. So yeah, laziness, I think, is a big acceptable sin in American churches today. And the second one that was also hit on is gluttony. And gluttony, well, in the way it's used in Scripture, most often it's referring to food. The lack of discipline in eating. And one of the reasons why gluttony is such a terrible sin, of course, is because it leads to health problems that will eventually shorten your life, and you lose out on opportunities you have in this life because of your gluttony to serve the Lord. Because it's really, this is the life, this is the chance that God has given us to use every minute of every day in service of Him. And gluttony cuts those minutes short. That's one of the reasons why it's so bad. The other reason why gluttony is bad is because a lack of discipline in eating often is indicative of a lack of discipline in other areas of life. Or maybe I can say it this way. If you cannot simply control what you put in your mouth, how do you control what comes out of your mouth? If you cannot control how much you eat, how do you control and discipline other things that are harder to discipline, like your thought life or your spending? Do you see where I'm going with that? It's a discipline, and we have to learn that skill of disciplining ourselves even in food. And so let's look at a couple of verses. Again, Proverbs have a lot to say about this. Proverbs 23:21 says, "For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty and slumber and slumber will clothe them with rags." Okay. Psalm 25:16. "If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it." That's graphic, isn't it? Well, how about this for graphic? "And put a knife to your throat if you are given to appetite." That's the biblical diet plan. Yeah, put a knife to your throat. I know they got that Daniel plan going on, right? Why don't they get a Proverbs 23:2 plan? Here you go. Ate too much, slit your throat. Okay, obviously, this is a proverb, and it should not be literally taken, but it is trying to show the seriousness of it all. All right, let's move on to the New Testament. Philippians 3:19. "Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and their glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things." Their God is their belly. That's the description of a glutton, isn't it? And when you are not disciplined in your eating habits, you turn your belly into a god, don't you? Okay, so the last acceptable sin is one that I've already talked about a little bit today. That is the sin of worry. And of course, I write about this in my book quite a lot. And in fact, in one of the chapters, I talk about how worry tends to be one of those acceptable sins. In fact, it's chapter 2. In my book, it's called The Acceptable Sin. And I wrote about this too on the blog recently, where I compared worry to pornography. If someone just said, oh, yeah, you know, I kind of like pornography. It's just kind of part of my personality. We would say, what are you talking about? You can't just, I mean, that's wrong. You can't just say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a pervert. I just like to watch pornography every once in a while and fantasize about it in my mind. You say, no, stop doing that. Because that's wrong. And worry really is very similar in the sense that it is a sin of the mind. But we often rationalize it and brush it off as if, you know, I'm just kind of a worry wart. You know, it's just kind of the way I am. I like to worry about things. And I think the best scripture, well, you know, probably the biggest scripture that deals with this topic of worry in the Bible is in Matthew chapter 6, starting about verse 25 through the end of the chapter. And here, Jesus says, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. Is not life more important than food, and the body more than clothing? He goes on to look at the birds of the air, how God takes care of them, and the lilies of the field. And here's the kicker, verse 30. Jesus says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, it took me a while to understand that. O you of little faith. Jesus is condemning people for their worry, and he is saying that you worry because you don't have faith. Worry is really a heart issue, like I said earlier. I learned that writing my book. It is an issue that is tied into our faith. And the solution that Jesus gives in verse 33 of Matthew 6 is, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He tells us to seek the kingdom of God. So I think that worry is right up there in those top acceptable sins in American churches today. And it's really because we have little faith. All right. I will be interested to know what you think are some of the top sins. Maybe I can add to that list. What do you think are the top sins in American churches today? And maybe we can add also, what do we need to do to become aware of them and overcome them? All right, friends, if you want to check out this podcast online, want to check out the show notes, you can check out sukofamily.org. And as always, it's up on iTunes there as well. There's a link in the show notes to iTunes and Stitcher. And if you want to head over there and give it a little review, that would be great. I appreciate it a lot because it does help get this podcast out in front of more listeners. So thank you again for listening. And until next time, blessings. All right, I have a special guest with me here in the studio today, and her name is?
Noelle.
Noelle is my third child, my second daughter, right? So I want to interview her real quick and just get her thoughts on a couple of things here. This is kind of a bonus part of the podcast today. So, Noelle, let's start with this. First of all, tell us how old you are, okay, and what grade you're going to be going into in the fall.
I'm 9 years old and I'm going to be going into fourth grade.
Okay, very good. And we've been in America for almost the whole school year, this past school year. What was the favorite thing about being in America this time?
Probably going on the trains to the zoo in Oregon.
Oh yeah, that's right. We just did that recently. We took the train from Tacoma, Washington down to Portland for the day, went to the zoo there. That was really fun. And it was your first time on an American train, right?
Yes.
So are American trains any different than Ukrainian trains?
I think they're nicer.
Okay, yeah. I would. Yeah, they were pretty nice. Okay, so and then also I wanted to ask you. Well, first of all, are you excited to go back to Ukraine, or would you rather stay here?
I think I want to go back to Ukraine.
So, tell me why you want to go back to Ukraine. Because I know that sometimes people think it's weird because there's a war there, although it's not in Odessa where we live. But what are some things that make you want to go back to Ukraine?
Well, I have my grandparents there, and I have some of my friends there, and I really miss them, and I want to see them.
Yeah, those sounds like good reasons to me, so I'm glad that you want to go back, because hopefully we will go back very soon, in August, right? Mm-hmm. And, all right, well, what is there anything else that you want to share with all of the listeners today? Any other kind of deep thoughts that you have, or maybe just wishes that you want to tell them?
Well, I thought that maybe they could pray for us as we go to Ukraine.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So what's your prayer request?
That our trip would be safe and everything would go well.
Okay. Thanks, Noelle. Thank you for being on Now Is the Time.
Bye.